Wired Jesus Podcast, June 26, 2008, Creative Commons licensed.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters!
Wired Jesus Podcast.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known.
Wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim.
I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
My boy, we're pilgrims in an unholy land.
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and glad you've come along for our journey together. This morning, I filled out an online Starbucks survey. Monday, I had to take my wife's car in for an oil change, so I swung through a Starbucks drive-thru for a caramel macchiato while I waited. The crew was friendly and said if I filled out the online survey, I would win $1,000. So generally, since I don't say no to free money, I filled out the survey. Now, as I was doing that, it struck me that Starbucks really has become an American icon, perhaps as recognizable as McDonald's and Coca-Cola. But if you followed in the news, and if you've been a Starbucks fan, you may have noticed that they've lost their way, and they're starting to discover that. And it's not just the economy. It's something that's happened over the last 3 to 4 years or so, and I would describe it as a loss of identity. The Seattle Times had an article on the last annual meeting that addressed this metamorphosis into something different than what Starbucks began as. Quote, "Unlike previous meetings, CEO Howard Schultz didn't brag about the company's stock price, which has suffered in the last year. He outlined Starbucks' problems, including a slowdown in consumer spending and the company's slide into, quote-unquote, mediocrity and bureaucracy, unquote. We've lost our edge, he admitted, to 6,000 employees and shareholders, some of them watching from an overflow room. I promise you, this will not stand. Consider that this comes from the man who started Starbucks, who talked about being a coffee evangelist, or more specifically, an evangelist of a coffee experience. Starbucks was all about the experience of the coffee house, which was brand new here in America, the smell of fresh ground coffee, of people reading copies of the New York Times, being comfortable conversations in hip surroundings. It was all a sense of community of people who came there to rest, relax, and think.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger.
I would say that Starbucks has more than lost their edge. They've lost their religion. And I think the drive-through window was the first sellout. Because now you didn't have to enter the experience, you could just buy the product, which seemed to undermine everything that Starbucks stood for. And then Starbucks stopped grinding their own coffee. I mean, think about it. A coffee house that only uses pre-ground coffee? Even Dunkin' Donuts is grinding its own coffee. Sure, Starbucks is bringing it back now like some great shift with the Pike's Place new house coffee. But I think as long as that drive-thru is there, it really doesn't matter. From the bags of Starbucks coffee in bulk at Costco to the Starbucks stand in every chain grocery store, Starbucks has changed its identity. From being an evangelist of a community coffee experience to a purveyor of a coffee product. Sure, they still make money, probably more than just as a coffee house. But if I want a coffee experience, I'll go to Caribou Coffee now. It's better coffee. To the best of my knowledge, I've yet to find a Caribou that has drive-thru windows. And it's a real coffee house. And better yet, independent coffee houses have learned the same lesson. I mean, Caribou may sell its products corporately, but without that drive-thru, that changes, you know, I think that's key to the identity. But they and independent coffee houses have learned the same lesson. You can beat Starbucks by adopting the values that Starbucks has forgotten and left behind. The same thing happened to MTV.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Remember it? Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles? You know, I'm old school. I remember when that was out and about, and it changed the world of music. And I was in high school when MTV first hit the airwaves, and it was a fixture of my daily college experience. We didn't have cable in our rooms, but in the campus center where we all hung out, MTV was on probably 24/7. And MTV was all about the videos and all about the artists, and it was a runaway hit. But then the spring break shows turned into reality shows, and then into game shows, and then talk shows. And what eventually happened is more and more, the music videos took more and more of a back seat. And finally, MTV, music television, had to start MTV2, because the original MTV wasn't hardly showing music videos anymore. Before we moved into our temporary apartment, I had purchased Leonard Sweet's book, The Gospel According to Starbucks, but it got packed away someplace where I can't find it. However, I did get a chance to begin the book, at least. And what Len does in the book is compare how Starbucks is a more effective evangelistic community than the church. Now, having met Len and knowing of his great love for both Starbucks and the church, it probably pains him terribly to see Starbucks sell out in the same way the church has. And what I mean is this. Starbucks redefines success from providing a coffee experience to making corporate profits. MTV redefines success from being about the music to being about consumer programming. And the church, we redefine success from being an experiential community of Jesus followers to a closed club all about programs and privilege. And you go back to the Bible, and you have this event called Pentecost Day. a day in which is marked as the church's birthday, when people of every nation join the community of disciples and experience the Holy Spirit in their own language. That's where we began. To this point today here where in the United States, Sunday is the most segregated time of the entire week. We've gone from a mission mentality to a club mentality where the comfort of the members is more important than making new disciples. The church is more about growing large to support programs instead of growing deep to be like Jesus. And then we wonder at the general decline in church membership nationally, and mega churches like Willow Creek are discovering that their members aren't any more spiritually mature than anyone else, be it in the mainline or evangelicals.
Consider this, hint of the century. Consider this, slip that brought me to my knees, failed. What if all these fantasies come flailing around? Now I've said too much. I thought that I heard you laughing. I thought that I heard you sing. I think I thought I saw you try. That was just
the thing is, I say this not to slam the church and local congregations. After all, I'm a pastor. I'm looking to get another call. And I'm looking forward to that. But what I do want to say is that human nature is pretty consistent, whether it's in the church or outside it. We prefer to help ourselves first before helping others. In the case of Starbucks, success was defined by dollars, not the customer. For MTV, success was redefined by ratings, not by the music. And for the church, success was defined by dollars and comfort, not by Jesus. And so now you can see where the real growth is at. It's in the small coffee shops, and it's in independent churches, both of which have gone back to the original values of the movement that they're a part of. You know, recover those original values that the big boys left behind for the lure of success, and what you discover is authenticity. So small congregations, new independent churches, a few flexible tribes like the Reformed Church in America, are running circles around declining denominations and bloated megachurches because they are of a size and of a mentality where they can be real about relationships and mission in Jesus rather than mediocrity, bureaucracy, and social statements. Now, all this sounds really awful, but the thing is, it's really nothing new. I mean, scratch the surface where we are today, and you'll find history repeating itself. All this has happened before. It's part of the natural cycle of life. If you're looking at Starbucks, throw Apple into the mix, you go back to your founder and bring these values, these things that built who you are back into focus, and you have a very good chance of getting regrounded and taking off again. You know, I love my MacBook Pro. 5 years ago, you probably could have made an argument that other than for the iPod, I would have thought Apple was going to go belly up. For the church, we call that these moments reformation. It's a revival and renewal to go back to the core values of Jesus rather than to continue to ride with the accumulated opinions of people over the centuries, or the opinions of whoever happens to lead a congregation at the moment. The thing is, though, reformation is hard work. It means change, even if it's change going back to original values, and not everyone wants it. Not everyone wants to believe that those core values that made you what you made the movement into what it was is right and authentic now. But it's what has to happen if a movement wants to survive being fossilized into an institution permanently. But the hope is that authentic values of faith never die and are always being rediscovered. I mean, that's part of the whole story of the Bible. And it's true today. And if it's not being rediscovered here, it will happen somewhere else. There's a marvelous article in the Chicago Tribune about the renewal and growth of the Christian church in China right now. You know, a little bit of that would go a long way here in the States right now. But to bring it back to Starbucks, Howard Schultz understands this. In a 2005 interview with the online magazine No, and the article is titled The Art of Creating Passionate Consumers, and I'll have a link on the webpage for it. Howard Schultz talks about his reformation strategy for Starbucks and his efforts to get his leadership on board. And he makes these wonderful comments. He says, in addition to the price, convenience, and other benefits, consumers are demanding more. They want products or services that create a powerful and enduring emotional connection. We at Starbucks have seen significant loyalty and value around the trust we have built with our customer. The issue of trust has become and is the most powerful foundation for customer choice. Further, people want to be part of something that they can believe in. They want to be associated with a product or a service they can rely on. Companies that are serving these emotional and human needs of the customers will really stand out in the midst of this cynical backdrop. The theme is that people want to be part of something bigger than themselves. They want to be part of something that touches their hearts. The art of marketing today is the ability to build this emotional connection. I'm not going to tell people where they should be spending their money, but I would advise that all marketing be authentic and relate to reaching into people's hearts to let them know that you want to be part of their life. At Starbucks, we have integrated ourselves in a way that is very different from selling a cup of coffee. We have an emotional relationship with our customers. And he concludes with this: the art of being a great retailer is to preserve the core while enhancing the experience. It is very hard to do, and many people have lost their way. We need to push for the reinvention and renewal and to extend things without diluting themselves and diluting ourselves. You know, change. You know, this is about coffee he's talking about. You know, Starbucks, you know, when it comes down to it, it comes to the coffee, but, you know, he understands that it's more than just the coffee. And if you change just a couple words, you're talking about the church. You know, you have a mission plan for a local congregation to help a community to experience Jesus rather than join a church. No wonder Len wrote his book. And it's no wonder that Starbucks wandered, because this is a lifestyle. And this type of lifestyle is hard to do. I hope Howard Schultz and Starbucks makes the transition. Now, I still frequent our local Starbucks for meetings, but I prefer to make my espresso at home rather than in a drive-thru. And I hope congregations here in the United States can make the transition also. I still hang with my ELCA tribe and look forward to serving as a pastor in a congregation again before summer's out. But I hope it'll be a community where following Jesus is more real than a drive-thru. That's all for this podcast. As I mentioned before, the search continues for a new call, but I'm confident with the options I have right now, one will materialize before summer's out, and I'll keep you up to date on that. I've got a couple other podcasts in the can, so hopefully here in a couple weeks I'll have another one up and posted. Also, an invitation to folks to check out my Facebook page, which has been kind of dormant for a while, but in the last few weeks I've pumped that up. So there are some links and fun things over there if you want to seek me out on Facebook. So in the meantime, keep up with the good words and prayers, and we'll see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slot like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee.
Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.